Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Quack.
I did not know she could do that.
That is pretty impressive.
I just wrote down a question for my future self.
What? How do druids work? Magnets, how do they work? We should probably make camp somewhere.
Sounds good. What about down there and within the trees?
Did the shriek wake us up?
Yeah. Guessing it probably did.
I'm going to say probably, yes. So
I mean, Telgear is a light sleeper from years of practice.
You stir and see this thing like zip over top of all of you.
I feel like maybe it sends like ripples of force, and that sort of like moves through the demon, and then he crashes to the ground.
Bone crunching, like flesh ripping, like falls to the ground in like a huddled mess. And then you hear more movement from around, and you begin to hear like the groans of zombies.
I'm not stunned anymore.
And then you begin to see them from the light from Tulgir's weapon, the faces of them coming out of the trees.
Looks like it's time to blow this popsicle stand.
Yes, I say we need to get out of here.
You'll quickly climb aboard the magic carpet and zip off into the air as the scene around you is overwhelmed by maw demons and zombies. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Carla Maxted.
She, her. That is me. I play Yen Bolnuri, a Kalishtar cleric.
And Amy Moore.
Also she, her. And I play Thea Amastasia, a female high elf druid. I don't know why I said female. I was reading off my sheet. That's why.
And last but not least, Tom Laird.
He, him, and I am playing Tulgir Heavyfoot, who is a mountain dwarf paladin who also goes by he, him.
How's everybody doing tonight? Today. It's a podcast. People listen during whenever they want.
At all times.
I would like to
make a confession off the top. You know how I do all of my spelling phonetically, and it is always perfect?
Yeah.
Well, of course.
So Tom has put Tulgir in his name in our Zoom call, and I would like to tell you that how I spelled Tulgir was Tallgear. Tulgir. That's not what it is. That's not D&D enough. It obviously is Tulgir. Duh. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Actually, I think he needs an H in there.
Probably. You're right.
I think I should actually just change it to Tulgir.
Tulgir.
I mean, it's phonetically, it's almost the same.
Yeah.
But Carla, I'm just going to say, you saying that has now helped me remember what Tom's character name was, because I'm not going to lie to you. Tom's been Flint for so long.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to remember.
Just having Tulgir as, because when we play another game, Tom's a DM.
Yeah.
Sure.
He doesn't even have a side.
You're right. That's a really good point.
Tom doesn't even have a side piece.
We don't know. He might. We don't know.
That's not how you use that word.
Maybe Tom has a confession this episode too.
Oh my gosh. Huge confession
to make,
guys.
These are my confessions. Just when I thought I said all I could say, my chick on the side said,
so what the listener doesn't know is Russ has left the room, and now all bets are off.
And now I'm singing Usher. That's
just
what happens.
Now Amy's just going to serenade us with Usher, because that's what happens when Russ leaves the room.
Yeah.
If I'm going to tell it, then I got to tell it all. I damn near cried when I got... Okay, guys, I'm holding an invisible microphone in front of me.
Her eyes are closed. She's so in it.
In front of my microphone that's actually in front of me.
Amazing. Russ, you missed a lot of good stuff.
You missed so much good stuff.
Great. I'm looking forward to hearing it in the playback.
You didn't hear it down the hall?
Our dog has some health issues, and we have to stop her from eating things. So we have to go watch her. But she doesn't like to be watched. And I know she's needed to poop for the last 6 hours. But when you go and watch her, she runs back like you're coming to play, and then she comes inside. So that's
Russ had to stealthily just watch the dog take a shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, what a weirdo.
Did you fail the stealth roll?
I didn't because she found me. So.
Oh, so she still hasn't gone.
She still hasn't gone.
That must be uncomfortable.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out later, I guess. Did you do any Patreon stuff? Like, did
no,
you,
I just sang Usher the whole time. Just sang.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, okay, cool. Well, when you're a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you. I don't, there's no lead into it. You just get an episode dedicated to you. Come join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Like today's patron, Jonathan Bell.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, Jonathan.
That serenade was for you.
Do you feel special? You got the Usher episode.
Oh, the fabled Usher episode.
And it, like old Usher too. Oh, Confessions.
Yeah.
Part two.
That's assuming Russ didn't have to edit this all out.
Well, he can't now. We've talked about it too many times.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, no. That's the key.
Remember that time I sang Usher right just like 30 seconds ago?
If you have too many callbacks referring to the thing,
sure.
You can't remove it because then it's ingrained. I think, anyways. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yes, thank
you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Tons of goals over there that we're trying to achieve, including a Grants as Flamekins episode DM'd by Tom, Amy, and Carla.
That's right. Rotating DMs.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast.
Everybody does it. It's super easy.
Totally.
That's right.
That's what Carla keeps telling herself.
Right,
guys. Jazzing herself up for it. This is going to be easy, right,
you guys? It's a team effort. It's like tag team DMing. You just, whenever there's not an idea, somebody else just jumps in with an idea.
I like that.
No problem.
Yeah. It's just a big who's line. It's fine. Fuck it. Let's play. Your team, Yemble, Thea, and Tallgear. Hey, Tallgear is a Patreon-created name. Thank you, Christian Brown, for creating Tallgear, and for Tom for playing him.
Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Patrons.
And thanks, Christian.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. This is the thank you episode, because it's going to get real dark here in just a second. Mm. Yeah. You've been traveling via magic carpet for the last 2 days. You spent a day to get to the point where we ended in the last episode, and then have basically just been in panicked transit to get to Luskin. You found if you spent too long on the ground, you were quickly found by passing demons or undead. And if you spent too much time in the air, you were spotted by vrocks or spirits or demons you couldn't put a name to.
Thea definitely, like, creates names for them when she sees them, knowing they're not the real names, but definitely is sharing with Yenbul and Tallgear the names that she has now dubbed them.
Do it.
Can you tell me some of, like, describe to me what I would see?
Yeah. There's one that has large, hairy, not feathery, but hairy wings that have, like, claws that stick out at the end. Not like pterodactyl wings, mm-hmm. but, like, huge fingers that come out so that it's like two big hands that kind of come together, and like beady red yellow eyes that you can see in the dark, and you only see it at night, so you only see this figure, this shadowy figure against like the purple light of the moon, and these eyes that just zip, like just quickly move around you.
Hairy hands McBat. Go on, next.
On the ground you see they're tiny, and they travel in like packs. They're about the size of a large rat. They have eight, maybe, legs. You haven't really gotten close enough, or you smash them quick enough to get a good count on them. But they're covered in scales and spikes, and there's something dripping off of them.
Spiny goobers. Next.
Okay, we'll only do one more. Rule of threes. This one is you got caught up in it. There was one night you found like this alcove that seemed tucked away. Your back was, there was only one way in and out of it. You thought it was safe, but then these what seemed like cobwebs were around the perimeter. But as you'd look away from them, they'd move and be suspended from there was no real canopy or cavern roof, but they were just suspended in the air. So it's like these long, stretchy, sticky cobwebs that just spin through the air towards you.
Oh, silly string.
Such a whimsical name. I'm glad you've kept some of your whimsy, even though we're in the darkest timeline.
I'm trying real hard.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
I'm fighting against it.
Needless to say, rest has been few and far between. The level of panic and exhaustion and fear that has set in among the three of you is high, and some higher than others. So right now, we're going to find out exactly how high all of this is. We're going to figure out, you know, how much damage you've taken from various battles. We're going to figure out what your level of exhaustion is, determining how much sleep you've had. And for those that cast spells, which I think is all three of you, how many spell slots you've expended to this point. So we're going to go one character at a time and roll a percentile die for each of those subsections or percentile dice. Who wants to go first? This is fun.
I can go first, but Russ, I'm going to need those subsets of information said to me again.
Okay, so you're going to roll for, we'll just go one by one here. So you're going to roll for HP loss at this point.
Okay.
Percentile what if I've dice. Already lost HP?
Yeah, then you lose more.
That is a 42.
Tolgir, through battle with a lot of these demons over the last 3 days, has taken an extra 25 damage that you have not regained to this point.
Okay.
So you may have regained some through short rests or something, but to this point, you have not regained any.
Okay, what's up next?
Levels of exhaustion.
35.
So you are going to find that you have 2 levels of exhaustion, which means you have not slept for at least 48 hours. The level of exhaustion at 2 means you have disadvantage on ability checks, and your speed is halved.
Okay.
Next one, spell slots expended. How many spell slots total do you have?
They go up to 5th level.
Okay. It'll still be fine no matter where you roll on here. So roll percentile dice, please.
Okay. 14.
You can choose where you expend them from, but you have expended 3 spell slots that you have not regained.
Okay.
And then there's one final one for hit dice used.
All right.
Darkest timeline. I'm sorry, everybody. Please still be my friend.
No.
That's 62.
So you have expended 6 hit dice.
Guys, I feel like we're playing like a real D&D game where there's actually consequences and stuff.
This is not what I signed up for.
I don't like this.
What kind of long con have you been running on us, Russ? So many years in, and now we're going to play this real D&D where we like get psychic damage and get tired and people try and kill us? It's terrible.
Do I have to use money and stuff correctly?
I don't.
Yeah, that's the other game. Do I have to keep track of my arrows and things?
That's in the lightest timeline.
Do I need to eat food?
Yeah. Who's next? Carla?
Sure. So HP loss is first.
HP loss, yes.
Okay. That is 11.
So you have lost a total of 15 HP.
Oh, good first roll, Carla.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you roll? It still is 15. Still seems pretty high.
I rolled a 42, I think.
See, and
which
I
got 25, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then exhaustion. It's all just percentile, you said. Yep.
You got it.
Oops. 72.
One level of exhaustion, which gives you disadvantage on ability checks. That means you haven't slept for 24 hours.
Well, because I got to be manning that carpet.
That's true.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Spell slots expended.
Okay, and you want to know...
I like this one.
I know.
Maybe I use cantrips only.
Exactly.
I hate this. Feels
I don't like you
wrong.
Deciding what spells I've used.
3 days of battle, right? So with no, you know, indistinguishable rest. So, percentile for spell slots expended.
Okay, and you... Okay. 32.
So you've expended and not gained back 2 spell slots. You can choose from where. And then one more for hit die.
82.
You've lost 8 hit dice.
Whoa.
Okay. Good times.
Hey, Amy.
No. Yeah. I don't want to.
But you got
it. Let me make sure I just have my... Okay.
Yep.
20.
20 for HP loss. You lose 15. 15 hit.
It's not cool when I was already down 20.
Well, I will tell you the max, if you rolled between 76 and 99, it could be 75.
Jesus!
Oof. So...
All right, next one for exhaustion.
Yep.
59.
59. You also gain one level of exhaustion, so disadvantage on ability.
24 hours of not sleeping. Okay.
Spell slots expended.
48.
You have expended and not gained back two spell slots.
They're going to be first level. Avi.
Yeah. No, what? I did 8 and 9. What are you doing?
Carla. And then 28.
28 is going to get you. You've lost 4 hit dice.
I don't know where to. I have nothing. I don't write. I don't know. I have nothing. I don't write. Those
you,
words
you
are
quickly
just...
meditate. I mean, it all makes sense, right?
Sure, sure, sure.
There's your stats.
It's just stats.
Yeah. Sad stats.
It could have been worse.
Yep.
You guys did.
Yeah,
really
it sure
well.
Seems
yeah.
like it could have been.
Could have
yeah.
been a yeah. lot worse.
Yeah. 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 We'll just leave it there.
Okay.
So on this third day, you are traveling. Well, I guess you tell me on this third day, you know that two of you haven't slept for 24 hours. Tulgir hasn't slept, had a decent rest in 48 hours. You know you're getting close to Luskin.
Well, we've got to be getting close now. How much further do you think it is?
I think you must be right. We must be close. Perhaps we should land until it gets too dark and try to rest briefly, or at least one of us can rest, or...
Even just short amounts of sleep would be good. Guys, I don't know how much longer we can keep going on like this. Talgir, you haven't slept in, like, what? Like, 2 days?
At least, it's...
All right, well...
It's been a while. But we've got to... What's the alternative? We can't just stop.
Why don't we land here for now? We shouldn't be flying anyway at night. Why don't we hit the ground, Talgir, grab a quick nap, Yenbul and I will keep watch, and in like 30 minutes, and then let's keep moving. Catnaps. Short catnaps.
Yes, this seems like a good strategy. And I bring the carpet down. What is there a clearing, or I mean, just an area? It's not exactly. We don't need. I don't need a big launch site, yeah. A long runway.
Well, I mean, you're bringing the carpet down to where you think would be a safe place. So tell me what you see when you're bringing it down.
I think if it's still like generally kind of forested as it has been, we would just look for like a break in the canopy, just so that we can get down sure. to the ground.
You come down through the thatched canopy of like spindled, dry, dead wood. That's like you clip it with the carpet as it comes down, and it snaps and crumbles to the ground. You hear it hit down below, and you look down, and it appears like a small clearing. There's a bit of an alcove that's covered more by canopy, and it allows you to kind of tuck away and set up not a full camp, but enough so that one or two of you could take a brief rest.
I think perhaps just two watch, one sleep. It seems there are so many creatures. I don't know that one person watches enough. What do you think?
I feel the same way.
Okay, Talgir, you sleep. We will protect.
And not draw penises on your face.
I didn't even
like last time.
Think that would be really a thing, sorry. But yeah, please
oh,
don't.
Oh, no, I mean, no, definitely haven't. No. And he looks at Yenbul and is like...
Talgir crawls into his bedroll, and I mean, Talgir, you tell me how you deal in this, because, I mean, high stress, are you able to even relax in this moment?
As a longtime soldier, Talgir knows that when you have the opportunity to get rest, you take it, so he doesn't have too much trouble getting to sleep.
Hey, Talgir's out fairly quickly, leaving you, Thea, and Yenbul alone. As far as the clearing goes, like, it's, you don't see anything in it, it's quiet, there is the purple light of the moon. It's faint, obviously. It doesn't give off the same sort of light that the moon regularly would, but it's cresting through this canopy and down to the other side, almost illuminating the other side in this dark, dark night that's setting in. Sounds you hear around you, you hear the occasional branch snap, a low, almost droning wind. Like, it's not a wind that gives and takes and ebbs and flows. It's like just this constant drone that just feels like it's moving through the trees.
I wish I could have seen your land before. We pass all these forests. It must have been so beautiful.
It was. The trees were lush. Everything was green. The water flowed clear. Thea kind of touches one of the trees and part of the bark, black and ashy, crumbles into her hands. And she's not much of a crier, but you see that little brimming of tears. And we're going to bring it back.
Yes, I am sorry you have to see it like this. Perhaps I was so sad to leave my home, but perhaps it is easier because I cannot compare this to anything else. I did not know what it was like before. And now it just must be extra hard for you in a way that it is not for me. I'm sorry for that.
I don't think any part of this is easy for anybody, but it just sucks. I keep stopping and trying to bring a little bit of it back, but there's got to be more we can do. As I try to bring just even the smallest pieces back, I can feel that it's pulling at the earth, and it's going through so much already. I feel like I'm almost doing more harm than good. I think it has to be an all at once or nothing.
Yes, that is. It is just more bad news, isn't it? It is. I hoped that you would be able to draw power from somewhere where there was more life, but it seems like that must be far away.
Must be. Taking from an already dead land to create life is not. It feels icky. Gimble, did you hear that?
The wind or?
No. No, it was stepping. It was snapping of branches or cracking.
Gimble's gonna draw her weapon, or I guess probably already has her weapon drawn, but sort of gets ready since it has been sort of a nonstop onslaught of real shitty creatures coming out of nowhere.
You give it a moment and you too, Yemble, begin to hear more than just like the branches like craning or cracking. It sounds heavy, but like there's like a almost like a pointed land to each of these sounds. Like, it's not like a widespread thud. It's like a precision step. And they are soft and quick at first, but then get louder as you hear and see branches explode out in front of you, illuminated by this purple light. There's this three-legged, like the pincer legs, like long pointed legs, one out in front and two kind of behind, with this almost humanoid figure at the center of these legs. And it has one kind of human arm, and its jaw seems like it's been ripped off, and its eyes are completely sunken in, and it explodes out into the clearing and is charging towards the three of you.
Zombie crab! I kick Tall Gear.
Yeah.
unceremoniously. What a shitty way to wake up.
Yeah, no, Tulgir is like on his feet in a flash. He's ready for anything.
You yelled out zombie crab?
Yeah, and kicked him.
Okay, it's going to charge towards you.
Oh, all right.
And it's going to try and like stab you with one of these legs. Not well. That's going to be at 10.
Now.
And then it's going to, you feel like this rumble in the air around you. No, that's not a roll. That's a constitution saving throw.
I'm going to use, because I rolled a 3, so I'm sure a 7 doesn't save. I'm going to use my lucky point.
The rabbit's foot?
No.
Is that what that is?
No. Nope. Oh. I have lucky points.
Right, you've got your feet, yeah.
It's my feet, yes, because it was a bad saving throw.
Yep. You have disadvantage on ability checks as well.
Okay. You guys. Fuck everything. Are you sure I have disadvantage?
Yeah, you have one level of exhaustion.
Neat. Okay, well, I rolled an 18, which would have made a 22, but since I didn't, it's only an 8.
Cool.
8.
Cool. Okay, you are...
pissed.
Yeah.
Disappointed in myself.
No.
Tired of this fucking timeline.
It's worse than when you're mad at yourself.
You are frightened of this creature.
Ah!
A frightened creature has disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of its fear is within line of sight, and you can't willingly move closer to the source of your fear. You can make the save again at the end of your next
God,
turn.
Way to make me useless.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, it is Yembol's turn.
Okay, I am going to cast Sacred Flame. That's a dex save.
Okay. What level spell is that?
It's cantrip.
Cantrip, okay. Dex save. 17.
It is 17.
Active versus passive, it loses. We did this last time.
I know, that's why I was like, oh no, it's the worst possible outcome. We just talked about this.
Yeah.
But it was a month ago.
I still don't understand.
Well, it was a month ago. It's all gone.
Yeah, so it just rolled its AC for that thing. So you met it and beat it because you are attacking it.
Okay.
So you win.
Great. That's what I thought, but I feel like I don't know how anything works anymore.
Different world.
Different world.
Darkest timeline, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So that is 21.
21 type of damage?
Radiant damage.
This thing shrieks out, and you see dimly because of how dark it is, but you see like ripples through the air as it looks up and screams, receiving this blinding pain where you strike it. This pulls down from the sky and into this, and it looks up into it, and you see, yeah, absolutely, through this flame, you see like these ripples of sound or waves of something moving up through this flame, displacing it as it's coming down upon this creature. Anything else you can or would like to do?
No, just one attack for old Yenbul.
You're close to Thea, so it's within melee unless you move.
Oh, yeah, movement. Yeah, maybe I'll... move away a little bit. We were all kind of pretty close together. That being said, we're surrounded by probably now darkness and a million more creatures. So I'm going to like move a bit, but not that much because it's a scary world out there.
I guess you'd have a little more sight from the sacred flame too. So it would illuminate the area while it's going. You don't see any other creatures immediately, but as this flame goes and rings out and goes through the air, you hear more movement amongst the trees, like amongst the canopy, but you don't see anything directly in that moment. Dia, you are afraid, so you have to use all movement to try and get away.
Okay, I want to use all my movement to try to get away.
It tries to attack you. So it tries to attack you for 16 with one of its stabby pincers.
No good with your stabby pincer.
It just, like, you feel it, like, cut through, like, the cloth of your pant leg as it drives through and down into the ground beside you. So you are able to run away. You do have disadvantage on any sort of attack rolls or ability checks.
Well, I don't plan on doing any of those things.
Cool beans.
I'm going to do, it's all about intention.
Yep.
As my daughter's witchcraft books tells me. Yeah. I'm going to cast Fairy Fire on it.
Okay.
Because I don't need to see it to do that. It just has to be in range.
Is not a creature you can see?
No, just a 20-foot cube within range.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
Sorry, what's the save?
Deck save.
5.
Nice. Very fire never works for me, you guys. Just in case.
It's because you had that intention. You did it.
It's because you intended, yeah.
For those of you who don't speak Amy, yes, that was fairy fire never works for me, you guys. That's what I said. So now this crab zombie, Crombie, maybe, is outlined in a violet light and sheds this dim light in a 10-foot radius. So now we can see more, too, as well. This thing's totally lit up.
Yeah.
And any attack roll against an affected creature has advantage.
Okay, cool.
And it can't be invisible, but I don't think that's its thing. So,
not so
just
far.
Thought I'd say it just in case.
Okay.
I did a thing.
You can save your... you can use... just you can save to try and not be frightened.
I'd like to do that.
Con.
Oh, no.
At disadvantage. At disadvantage.
Well, you want me to roll it again? Because we've got that one turn now, don't we? Yeah. It was a 4. Guys, I can't roll higher than a 4.
Get them all out right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there was no intention there. So that was the problem.
Oh, it's true. I wasted all my intention. Well, I didn't waste it. I just need to muster up some more.
You're still
onward.
So,
Tulgir, you've got 20 attacks, right?
You ran away. Your back was to the forest. It's in front of you. So I'm assuming you ran into the forest.
Yeah.
Okay, you are now 30 feet into the forest.
I don't like it.
Cool. Tulgir, it's your turn.
Well, this thing's all lit up for me, so I'm gonna walk on up and give it the old slash attack.
Please do.
That's a 19 to hit on the first one.
Ability checks, attack, yeah. What's your level of
at
exhaustion?
At disadvantage, Tulgir.
Oh, I forgot about the disadvantage.
I figure if I am at disadvantage.
Yeah, so sorry. What was your exhaustion? It was 2 or
2.
3? Okay, so 2. So you don't have disadvantage on attack rolls.
But I have speed.
Yeah.
Was I able to reach it?
Yeah, so you were all kind of clustered. I don't think you spread out to sleep. So yeah, you would be within range. So you can make
perfect.
It.
I will also add a second attack into the mix.
Okay.
That is a 22.
That will hit.
I have so many dice out for tonight's game because I just had a feeling that we were going to need them. All right. 5 and 9 is 14. 4 and 9 is 13. So that is 27 damage.
Type?
Slashing, yes.
That brings it to 69. 69 damage.
Ooh. That's the sexiest kind of damage.
Right?
It's the middle, and we're here to tell you what's coming up.
That's right. We're your cheese whiz center. What's coming up is really exciting. Carly,
we came
you
back
know what
to
I'm
the cheese
about.
Whiz again. I mean,
I think we've done
cheese whiz. We've done cheese whiz.
Before. Like 3 weeks ago, four
oh,
weeks
shit.
Ago.
Cheese
yeah,
whiz
pretty
and
recently.
Pickles?
Sure.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be your thing. Amy's the cheese.
I can't
whiz.
Even eat cheese whiz anymore, man.
Well, then why
but
do you keep bringing
cheese
it up?
The cheese whiz is a fun nickname. Are you sure you don't want it anyway?
Oh,
I think it's
maybe.
Pretty good.
All right,
yeah.
I'll think on it. I'll get all my students whiz. To call me it, and we'll just see if it sticks.
No.
See if it does.
See, that one's going to stick even if you don't like it, though. So careful giving that one to your students.
And I mean, that's also something you could say about cheese whiz.
Yeah, it's true.
But you know who is sticking around, but we do like it? B and Tracy from the Broadswords.
Yeah, they're joining us next week here with Moot and Sully.
I was really curious how Amy was going to bring it around, and I think she 90% did it.
I feel like you really made it work.
Thanks.
But yeah, those two lovelies from the Broadswords are going to be joining us, and it was just a hoot.
Oh, it was a hoot and a half.
It was super fun.
Sorry you missed it, Carla.
I know. Well, I can't wait to listen. It'll be... My favorite episodes are the ones where I'm not there talking, just you guys are, so I'm going to love it.
Perfect.
It's all Glim a got surprise. Stuck in that parking lot for some Zumba, you know?
Sounds right.
Get that, yeah, just kind of comes up sometimes, but no, we had so much fun with B and Tracy, so listen for them.
Yeah, next week, and then a couple weeks after that. But now, let's get you back to this episode where we are
doing stuff,
still traveling on our way to Luskin. Woo. It's a dark forest.
Mm. Oh yeah, darkest yeah, timeline. Darkest. Let's go back yeah. there.
Let's head back to that.
Here
was
your little bit of a ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
And now we're gonna send you back into the deep dark.
The creepy crawlies. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. It's the creature's turn, and it turns and like it emits this shriek, which like chills you to the bone, Talgir. Like you feel like your the clothes you're wearing and the armor you're wearing begin to vibrate as it screams down towards you. Con save, please.
That is a 19.
Like you get this glimmer of complete fear, but then steel yourself in its face. And it's
I should mention to you, Russ, I am immune from being frightened.
Then you're not frightened. Okay,
perfect.
I mean,
I just didn't know what you wanted me to roll for.
It rolled, however, a natural 20 as it stabs down at you with one of these pincers. And that's going to be 27.
Ha! Sheepers.
Which is a combination of 20 piercing and 7 poison damage.
Ooh, I'm resistant to poison damage.
So you take half of the poison damage. So you take 4. So 24 total.
So 24, okay.
4.
It is Yumble's turn.
Okay, well, I'm just going to Sacred Flame it again.
Okay.
So dex save.
4.
Okay. So he's going to take 15 radiant damage.
Okay. So this time the fire pours down and illuminates the clearing that you're in. Thea, you're in the trees. You're not.
I have no idea what's happening back there. I'm just so far away. You guys are okay.
You see the light come out, and ahead of you, I'll tell you what you see, and then I'll get Yenbol and Talgir what you see. You see ahead of you small creatures. You can't quite describe them. Like, they're not animals. They, as the light pours out, like, you see their eyes, and then they turn back and scurry around the trees. Like, they were coming towards you, but then as the light comes, they shy back as you their eyes light up with this light. Yembol and Talgir, you see a similar scene that plays out in the canopy there. You catch out of the corner of your eye these creatures that look like they have long claws. They have wings on their back. And you see their eyes light up, like some white, some yellow. And they shy back behind whatever tree they see as the sacred flame pours down on top of this. It lets out another shriek, and like you smell the burning flesh of this creature, and it like begins to fall to the knees, so to speak, as it gets closer down to the ground to you.
Does it smell like dead stuff or like crab?
No, it smells like dead stuff, like decayed material that's being burned.
Gross.
Yeah. Yep.
Unfortunate.
I could add some fun, like crab barbecue.
Exactly. Could have melted some butter. We would have had a real good time.
Best thing that's happened to us this whole trip.
In so long. In a decade.
Thea, you are 30 feet away. You just see all these creatures now in front of you, which stops you. You're away from the creature and not looking at it. So there's no need to move away from it at this point, but you now have unknown number of creatures in front of you.
Neat.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just going to, I'm just going to produce flame in my hands.
Okay.
And ready my action just in case they come at me again. But I'm kind of hoping that the light from my fire will keep them away, even though it's not radiant. Sure. Just so hoping. And I'm going to roll to not be a scaredy cat.
Okay.
At disadvantage. Well, that's a 1, so I'm just going to stop there.
Cool.
I think that was just a saving throw.
So your produced flame goes up. What's the range on the light that it gives off? 30 feet?
The light that it gives off is a 10-foot radius.
10-foot, okay. Your flames go up, and in a 10-foot radius, you see as the sacred flame quickly dies down again. You see these creatures like peering out, like their claws wrapping around trees. Some of them have like climbed up, scaled up, so they're up higher. They're looking down, like you see the glimmering off their light. You can't quite get look on them. It's not bright enough. Like the light seems to like suck up the far, you know. It's not like it decays off, but like it hits that 10-foot mark and then just is absorbed.
And then there's a dim light another 10 feet.
Nope, there's not. Oh. But as you cast it and you're quickly looking around, you hear like creaking noises all around you coming from the trees.
But they seem to be staying back?
None immediately are making moves for you.
Neat. Thought your hand was up for a high five.
Yep. I was just
you know, sometimes your significant other just puts their hand up for a high five.
Never leave you hanging.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm readying my action to blast some bitches with my fire in case I need it. But apparently, I'm still a scaredy cat
Of the thing behind you. Yeah. Yes. Tulgir, it's back to you.
You said this crab is looking a little bit worse for wear.
It's fallen to its proverbial knees. In front of you. So the humanoid figure that these legs are attached to is like hovering above the ground, like a foot above the ground. Like this thing was probably standing, which I don't think I said, but like 5 to 8 feet taller than any of you, just by its legs. But now it's not eye level, but closer to. But yeah, it's the smell of burning, decayed flesh and damage is clearly putting pressure on this creature.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess is it still under fairy fire?
Fairy fire's still good.
Yeah. That's not a concentration thing, I don't think. So, or maybe it is. Yeah, it is concentration, but Thea hasn't taken any damage. So, okay. There's no reason that should be dropped.
Oh, wait. All right. Flame.
It's not a concentration.
Oh, you're right. It's not.
Yeah.
All right. So, my attacks have advantage then, correct?
Yes.
Okay. First one's going to be a 26.
That will hit.
Second one, 31.
Nah. Yes, of course, no. That one hits. All right.
Yeah. Nah.
Plus 13,
just gets too high at one point. It goes
it's just
backwards.
Too high. Yeah, my current attack bonus with my battle axe is plus 13. Yeah,
give me that slashing.
Cool.
All right.
What's that like?
It's good. I really
Tom
like it.
Tom builds another character. Still a tank.
A tank who does magic stuff.
It's a magic tank.
And max damage on both the dice rolls. That's fun.
Ah, sweet.
So that's 34 damage.
Okay. Ooh. Give me something cool. Tell me how you kill this motherfucker. That's disgusting as fuck. I gave you a sweet, disgusting description. You tell me how you cut this fucker down.
Okay. You know when a crab is undercooked? And you open it up and there's like all that gross shit in there still.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's essentially like that. Like I swing in with the battle axe and kind of like not scalp it, but essentially like carve the top half off of it.
Yeah.
And inside is all the disgusting crab guts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you carve into this humanoid figure and inside like it, you can see it for a brief moment as like it's. Begins oozing out and down to the ground as this creature crumbles and falls in on itself. Its top half shrieks the moment it's struck, but quickly is silenced. And you're standing there. You see out of the corner of your eye, Thea's produced flame. There's a brief moment of silence, and then you hear movement in the canopy again around you. What do you do?
We gotta go, guys.
I keep my produce flame and I start to walk backwards quickly. I don't want to turn my backs on these things. So I'm doing like the whole like fire everywhere. And I start walking back quickly to hopefully hop on a magic carpet that's like been warmed up a little bit.
Yeah, ready to go.
Yeah.
We left it idling.
Yeah, so that's true. Just run that a little bit. It's cold.
You walk back and you hear the movement like closing in the... As you're walking, it's like moving at the perimeter of this produced flame. And you get back and Tulgir and Yenbul are on the carpet and they like back it up and like take out your legs underneath you to put you on it.
Does it beep as we back it up?
Who do I light on fire as I flail backwards with my hands out?
It's magic. You're fine.
Oh, good.
And you land backwards, and then the magic carpet lifts up into the air. Everybody make a dexterity saving throw.
I've been real good at these saving throws lately, you guys, so I'm probably going to nail this one.
These ones are at just normal.
Yep, just rolled a 3, so that's a 6.
Cool.
Guys, I can't roll. I haven't rolled a double digit number yet. Mm. I've rolled probably like, what?
11.
I mean, it's not great, Amy.
No.
That's a 12 for me.
Oh, jeez. No, nobody's super high.
We're so tired,
Russ.
These creatures jump out towards you as you lift up through the canopy, and each one of you is struck by these, simplicity's sake, they look like bats, but they're not. Their wings, like I said, have like claws that extend out and like grab into your leg or arm or wherever they latch onto.
What did I call this?
Hairy hand McBat.
Hairy hand McBats.
Yeah. and they clamp onto your leg or arm or wherever they grab you and quickly move into bite. Each of you are going to take 9 piercing damage. And you each have one grappled onto you as you lift up into the air. You're above the canopy now, but each have a creature on you. So we'll go, Tolgir was the last one to go, so Yimble, you're up next.
I'm going to blast it with Sacred Flame. That's a 17 dex save. But I mean, it's right there.
Yeah, that's a 3.
Great. Yeah. So 16 radiant damage.
Okay. Yeah.
Just blast into it.
That's a single target thing. I like the idea of, like, you're close enough that your Sacred Flame could target in this moment just those 3 things, because they're not high HP. So, yeah, I think your Sacred Flame comes down and...
Maybe they've conveniently each attacked us in the back.
In the cluster.
We've somehow, like, all turned exterior, mm-hmm. So we're all facing away. The creatures are all in the middle, and the Sacred Flame can get them all.
You feel the heat pour over them, and they shriek as they release and fall back down towards the canopy, and you zip off as quickly as you can.
I'm really sorry about back there. That was really embarrassing.
You could not help this.
Yeah, I don't think you had any control over it.
Also, that forest is so creepy. I was in there just surrounded by all those hairy hand McBat things, and it's just, oh, they're so creepy. And I've ripped my pants multiple times in just the past short while.
Well, I'm sure we'll be able to find a tailor in Luskin, but really that's the last of our concerns.
I swear, if we go into Luskin and there are shops and people legit going about their daily lives,
oh,
I mean,
it would be hard to leave a place like that.
It certainly would.
The scene of this daydream carries on for an hour or two as you picture a perfect world, Luskin.
I think we spend a lot of our time doing that.
Yeah.
Like remembering what streets looked like, how things used to be.
You travel for another couple hours and you crest over this hill and you hear the crashing sounds of coast as you've kind of come closer to it. And you see over this hill ahead of you a flashing light. Like it's there and then it's gone. And then it's there and then it's gone.
Like a lighthouse?
Maybe. do you do anything before you crest the hill or do you just keep going?
How is everyone doing, you know, health-wise? How are you guys feeling?
I mean, a little beat up, but nothing I haven't handled before. I'm all right.
Okay. I'm generally asking if anyone would need a healing spell at this moment.
Yeah, I also have healing hands that I can use once per long rest, which I haven't had. So I guess we'd need to decide if I've already used that in the last 3 days that we have been hurt, or I can use it now.
Yeah, I have a lay on hands pool too, so.
And can heal somebody a little bit. But.
So based on your exhaustion level, it's been 24 hours since you've had asleep. So in theory, you've likely managed to sleep like every other day. So, I mean, your call, I'll leave it up to you if you think you still have that ability.
Well, I think I maybe have it
once.
Yep.
And then not again until we have it. So how hurt are you guys? I'm at 87 of 122. Where are y'all at?
There's no way you have only 122 hit points. I think your sheet fucked up last time and we never fixed it.
Oh, that did happen.
Because I'm at 165. And
yeah, I'm at 174.
I'm at 117 of 165. Unless someone's really hurting, I didn't want to waste a spell slot. I'm sure I have a potion or something.
Yeah, mine is a cantrip, so it's not going to burn a slot.
I've got potion of healing as well.
Yeah, and mine is literally just a pool of energy that I can draw from.
Sounds like I should use it on me.
You should. I'm going to take a potion of greater healing.
Russ, I downed my pool. It's 85 normally, but since I haven't slept fully for a couple days, I've probably used bits and pieces of it here, so I put 45 in there.
Perfect. You crest over this hill, and you see this light off in the distance. Those who have been to Lusk, probably Thea and Tulgir. Yimble, I think we said that you hadn't been as far north as Waterdeep, so you definitely haven't been to Luskin. But you see the light coming from the tower of the Arcane Brotherhood, like a lighthouse spinning at the very peak of it. And you look as it passes, you see movement throughout the dark streets of Luskin and noise that hits you like a wall as you crest over this hill. And it's the noise and sound of undead just emanating up. And then amidst, you catch just the faintest sound of a coherent sentence. And someone screams out, "We need to get to the tower, quick!" All music and sound effects in today's episode can be found at epidemicsound.com or boomlibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Mark Hartless, Stevie, Cat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Jessica Babiak, Darylith, Devin Michaels, Aaron Stevens, Luke Ikes, and Ray Serbeck. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Things aren't great in-world. Right. Let's just sing some more Usher.
Yeah. Amy, we're looking at you.
I'm so thrown. I don't know what to do but to keep on doing my confessions.
Back to the same song. I wasn't expecting.
I thought it was going to be a different one. But I liked it.
I'm trying to remember. I'm like, I don't think like Scream is a really creepy song, but that's the only one that comes to my head right now.
That's two more Usher songs than I could name if you put me on the spot. So.
What's the one where he goes, Usher, 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 Usher? Is that all of them?
I don't know.
I would assume it's all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like a real Jason Derulo situation.
Yeah. I know all of his songs then.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
It's a tale of learning and healing.
We've got a whole province going to see one overworked witch in a candy cottage that's been chewed to pieces by the local kids.
Of fairies and magic.
You're touching the sapphire of assessment!
I'm not touching it! I'm just putting my head near it as I focus my brainial waveforms on it.
Stop it!
I'm not even touching it!
Of struggle against the odds.
This is my team. They may not live up to your vision of a perfect, efficient department.
They don't live up to my vision of a stampede in a barnyard.
Ooh, Kingly, that's how you know it's working.
And now, it returns at last. Alba Salix, Royal Physician, Season 2.
Alba Salix, Royal Physician, from Fable and Folly. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts or look us up at fableandfolly.com.